Welcome in to the David L. Gray Show. Off code and unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. Glad to have you here. It is about 3:30 a.m. in Germany, and we are streaming live on Facebook, YouTube. Two streams on YouTube, x.com, and however you get your audio platform, your audio podcast, we are there. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, please leave me that five-star review. It will definitely help with the algorithm. And while you're here, if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, make sure you hit that like, hit that share button, get more people into the stream, share the content. Appreciate help you. Yeah, help with that. How many things do I have for you today, my friends? I just have one. I have my friend here, Christine Harrington. She's been putting out some amazing content about some issues in the pro-life movement that we need to do something about. This is not helpful at all. In fact, and I think in some ways it's undermining us, especially those who contribute financially to these operations. So something needs to change. Something needs to change fast. So we're going to have a great conversation about that. So stay tuned for that. That is going to be the David L. Gray Show, off code and unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. Let's go ahead and roll into it without further delay. Looking forward to your comments below. So let's get going. Hello there. I am David L. Gray, the host of Off Code and Unscripted. I'm also the president and publisher of St. Dominic's Media. At stdominicsmedia.com, I would like you to hop over to our website today and take a look at everything we have to offer you there. And while you're there, I want you to become a member of our family. If you become a member of our family at just for $5 a month, I'm going to send you a gift. I'm going to send you a book of your choice from our collection as just a gift of you becoming a member of our family. And if you become a lifetime member, and I hope you do, you become a lifetime member, I'm going to send you every book we have ever published at St. Dominic's Media and every book we will publish in the future. And just for you helping our apostolate, becoming a member of our family, and just helping us carry out the mission that we have received, and that is to help people live their best liturgical life. So hop on over to St. Dominic's Media and see how much more you like us there. Thank you. Christine Harrington of Eternal Life Plan, thanks for coming back on Off Code and Unscripted.
Well, of course, you're the only Catholic podcaster I watch.
And I love watching you. I think I watch all of your content. You've been putting out some great content lately. I want to get into all of that with you. And let's just start with, about a week ago, you had did an interview with Frank Pavone. He is the founder of Priest for Life. And the week before that, or maybe a few days before that, you were on my podcast. And you had made another one too, just really being critical of the pro-life movement, right? And I would say the mainstream pro-life movement, because I know you make a distinction between kind of what Father Frank and Live Action and people like Lila Rose and people like that are doing versus what Rachel's Vineyard, people on the ground that you call them doing. People were actually outside the abortion child sacrifice meals. I know you make that distinction, but as far as the mainstream pro-life movement, you have been very critical. You had dropped some names on my podcast. I mean, you were not holding back at all. It was like, wow. And so you had, but you know, credit to Father Frank for, you know, coming on your live stream. I know you had some back and forth with him on Twitter and he came on. So credit to him. So it's been, you know, I guess over a week now. What are still some of your takeaways from that talk? Because your position was that, hey, Donald Trump is not pro-life. He's making exceptions. He's all on the abortion pill. He's all on in vitro fertilization and all this stuff. And Father Frank, he seemed to be completely in Donald Trump's just back pocket and just, you know. But he came on and he said, hey, this is why I guess, you know, we're being, you know, we need to win elections. So it's been, you know, some time now. What are some of your takeaways from that interview?
Well, he didn't convince me about Donald Trump. I mean, I understand that the country is in dire need of leadership, especially after this past debate. One of the things that confused me the most, though, is why Donald Trump felt like he needed to change his pro-life position. And now, in my opinion, he's pro-choice. If you're for limits, if you're, and he announced in the debate that he's for the abortion pill, he's pro-choice. Because David, almost 99% of the abortions that are occurring across this country fall into the categories that he supports, like 15-week banned abortion pills. 63% of abortions are being, in 2023, came about from the abortion pill. But this is the part that the public doesn't know. Not all states report abortions. Not all states report physicians that are prescribing the abortion pill. And of course, now the FDA just, you know, totally went against their own regulations, prescribing, saying that the abortion pills could only be prescribed by a doctor. Now they're allowing states that have approved this to be mail ordered. Man. I mean, we have, honestly, and this is what scares me the most, we have no idea how many real abortions, how many babies are being murdered, either through chemical, through the pills, or at an abortion clinic. We have no idea. And Frank Pavone, I thought he laid out a good case of what their long game is. And we'll talk about my revelation later about that long game.
Okay.
But I thought that I gave him a lot of credit for coming on. We had about a 40-minute talk the day before he came on.
Oh, wow.
And I was not wanting him to come on and me attack him and all of that. That's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to open up the conversation because I was confused. Being in the pro-life movement, I was confused. What is going on? Because, David, we haven't moved the ball down the field at all.
Yeah, what do you, because I know you said that yesterday in a show you did yesterday with Father Frank and Barada. I want to get into that, but you have said it in there that we haven't moved anywhere down. We haven't moved, we haven't made any progress on the issue, basically. What do you mean by that?
Okay. So everybody, you know, applauded the reversal of Roe versus Wade through the Dodd decision. So, in other words, taking it out of the federal government and putting it back to the states.
Okay.
Okay. Was that a win? You know, I don't know. I mean,
it's hard to discern whether it was or not. It really is.
Yeah, because abortions are still occurring and they're incurring more through the abortion pill. So yeah. I don't see that as any big win. Now, there are states that have really rolled back abortions, making them very limited. So what has the corporations done instead? Well, if you work for us, we'll just fly you to a state next door, pay your expenses, and we'll pay for you to get an abortion. So, you know, are babies being saved through the reversal of Roe versus Wade? We have no idea how to measure that because abortions aren't reported state to state or even clinic to clinic.
Yeah.
And I get so irritated when pro-lifers quote the Guttmacher Institute. The Guttmacher Institute is a arm of Planned Parenthood.
Exactly.
You cannot trust their numbers.
No. Yeah, I guess you could probably even double them up, right? right. whatever they're saying.
Well, and here's another thing a lot of people don't know, David. When you go in, when you go in to have an abortion, and like I was told, I had twins, and I asked the doctor to stop, and all I remember him saying is too late.
Yeah.
And that is recorded as one abortion.
Oh, the
not
procedure
killing
stuff.
Okay. two okay. babies. So, yeah. you know, the 63 million babies that have died through abortion, that's been floating around, that's for one procedure for the clinics and the states that have reported it. So yeah. you know it's got to be doubled.
Yeah. So Frank Pavone is talking about, we just have to elect Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. And even Donald Trump says this in a debate. He was talking about, hey, how some people are not for abortion at all, but you just have to get elected, because he says that concerns something else, right? So everyone wants to just elect Donald Trump. In a way, I'm okay with people going to vote for Donald Trump. Okay. But we have to recognize this, is that here's a person who is okay with, you know, states making their own decisions, even if it's kill a baby up until the point of death. He says that's a state decision. He says some states are liberal, some are conservative. But he's also okay on a federal level with the abortion pill. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, when I go to, you know, base, and I go to like the store on base, they have the abortion pill on the shelf right there in,
really?
In the aisle where there's, you know, the Plan
Next
B
next to
pill.
The condoms.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know where it's at. And so it's right there out in the open. And so that's every military base that has some sort of store is going to have that, you know, while he's president, right? He's not going to stop that. He says he believes people should have access to it. So this is who we would be electing. Okay. My huge problem with this, Christine, is that I think by saying we just have to get Donald Trump elected kind of lets all the Republicans and all the, you know, conservatives, liberal, all the types, all of every type of the log cabin Republicans, the gay ones, let's all of them off the hook, because we're not holding them accountable. Because I think we've just sold ourselves out by saying, okay, we're just going to get you elected. We're really not going to ask for anything, because we understand we just have to get you elected. And I think that's really weak. I think it's selling out the cause. I think it's making us complicit in the sin. And it just makes the whole mainstream pro-life compromise. Do you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. Why are pro-life leaders getting behind candidates, political candidates? First of all, why is that happening? They should be the watchdogs, right? They should be the ones that's going, wait a minute, let's talk about your abortion policies. But they're not. They just, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. Why they should not get behind political candidates. Mm-hmm. So Abby Johnson starts out in this election cycle backing Ron DeSantis. She was all for Ron DeSantis. Well, when, you know, in the 2020 election, she was all behind Trump. You know, if you remember that whole convention thing during COVID where she did a speech. And yeah, remember that everybody had fake stages, that whole thing. she was there to give her speech. So she was all for Trump then. Now, then when DeSantis decided to run, she threw her hat behind DeSantis. Well, DeSantis bows out. So what does she do? She goes back to Trump. Too late, Abby. Trump, you all know, he's all about loyalty. So, as Father Imbarato said last night, Trump was okay. You threw me under the bus, pro-life movement. Now I have no loyalty to you.
Ah, that's what this is about.
That's what this is about.
Wow.
Yep. So So, of course, in my tweet today to Abby Johnson, which she never responds to me about anything other than on Instagram. And she said, if you followed me for any time, you would know that I've been tough on Donald Trump. No, she hasn't. No, she hasn't. She came crawling back and it was too late. You shouldn't, if you're a pro-life leader, you should not get behind candidates. It's your job to be the watchdog for the unborn. Okay?
Right.
There are no political, there are no pro-life candidates that we have to vote for president. There are none.
Yeah. And you're saying by like getting behind them, you know, supporting their campaign, does it somehow then weaken our cause to hold them accountable for what they do? As I kind of see that, because you're saying, hey, we just got to get Donald Trump elected and you've done all this work to get him elected. Then now he's president. Like, how do you call him back from what he said on his campaign? He said, hey, I'm definitely for the abortion pill. I'm definitely for states killing babies. How can you still be in the room with him to make have him do something else if you already got him elected on that platform?
That's exactly right. You know, there. So we now know from the debate, which I had not heard that before from Donald Trump, that he would not block the abortion pill. And his platform, as I said earlier, accounts now for the majority of abortion. You know, he went back and said to Biden, you know, you'll kill him up to birth. Well, that whole exchange, I'm paraphrasing, folks, but pointing out that Democrats are for late-term abortions. Yes, that's true. But late-term abortions are maybe 1% of all the total abortions. Should they happen? No, they shouldn't happen. But should abortion happen? No, abortion shouldn't happen.
All right. All right. It was crazy that I really wanted to hear his response too, because there was at one point in time, President Biden, he tells him that, you know, he says it on the mic that, hey, he's going to, if the Republicans pass a bill to ban abortion in all the states, he's going to sign it. And so, and Trump is on his mic speaking, responding to it, but we can't hear them because his mic is off and the moderators want to get to the next question. I really wanted to hear what he would say.
If
the Republicans were to send that bill, would he sign it? I want to know, because that's a big deal.
Well, Father Imbrato said on my show last night that, you know, the plan all along with Trump during his first term was to get Roe versus Wade overturned and then pass a bill that may, well, we wouldn't, he wouldn't have to pass a bill, recognizing, he would recognize that the moment of conception, that is a live human being and would be granted personhood. So that would fall under the 14th Amendment. And so when they're granted personhood, then if they were to be aborted, that would be murder. That would be illegal. You know, and that's the way it should be. If a woman was murdered and someone, you know, God forbid, someone broke into their house, shot her baby, you know, in the womb, shot her twice. They both died. That would be true murders in a lot of states.
Yes.
But yet abortion isn't.
Yes.
So let me get back to the Trump story.
Yeah.
So when Roe versus Wade was passed, it, you know, everyone was told, and this is Father Imbrato, had a direct link to Kellyanne Conway, so he knew about this discussion. He knew this discussion was going on. He knew this was the plan because Kellyanne Conway told him this. And of course, you know, she was one of the staffers that was around Trump. So Kellyanne Conway, so the plan was, it was supposed to have done in the first term, but they pushed it out to be part of his second term. And of course he lost. They were so sure he was going to win. So that's why Father Imbrato believes that if Trump gets reelected, even though all this rhetoric that he's talking on the campaign trail, that he will pass personhood for the unborn when he is reelected. So that's why the Democrats are all going around screaming, he's going to ban abortion, period. Yeah, he should.
Yeah. But it sounds, I mean, I get that. I hear that, you know. I have no reason not to trust Father Imbrato. But it just feels a little bit to me like... It's kind of like black liberals, right? In all these cities who vote for Democrats, you know, especially the black women in these cities who just been voting Democrat for like 8 years, 80 years, I'm sorry. Just faithfully, just D down the ballot. Mm-hmm. With asking for nothing in return. Just the most loyal constituents that the Democrats have are these black women in cities, right? These black liberals. And they're the ones who put the Democrats in office year after year after year, voting faithfully every 2 to 4 years, getting nothing in return. But the Democrats promised them a lot. They said, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Now, Democratic policies, to be sure, always harm Black Americans in the cities, right? To be sure, there's you know, government, they should have less government in their lives. But the government always says, we're going to do this. Democrats say, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this for you. They might throw them a couple bones here and there, Christine. They might give them a, you know, a half black president, put somebody on Supreme Court or something like that. They might nod at them, right? But it's substantially, black Americans' lives have been worse in every statistical category, as far as education, employment, home ownership, just those worldly, just statistical things we look at has gotten worse since integration, right? So, and there's some that have gotten better, like women going to college and things like that. But graduation rates are about the same. Mm-hmm. But so they the comparison here is that I really sense that was what's going on with the Catholic pro-life movement. That Republicans say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Hey, if you just get us elected, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Yes, Donald Trump did, when he got elected, he did finally do something with Roe versus Wade. But like you said, was that a win or not? It's hard to discern, you know, really, with abortions increasing, and we don't know the number, as you said. So I really think that the mainstream pro-life movement is really just making us like black Democrats. just making us be loyal to a party and get nothing substantial in return for our vote. What do you think?
I agree. I'll give you another example. Right to Life drives me freaking crazy. So, you know, they'll put out these text messages. I'm on their text message campaigns, and they'll say, you know, such and such state passed a 15-week ban. Yes, we're winning. What? Right. And it's like, I don't know what world you're living in, but unborn are still being aborted in that state up to 15 weeks. That is not a win. And it's like they're putting the spin on everything. And it's like, what have you guys actually accomplished? Tell me, what have you actually accomplished other than raking in millions of dollars? What have you actually accomplished?
I was so shocked. Oh, go ahead.
And that's, you know, when I started seeing and this goes back 2021, 2022, I think, when I started seeing these text messages come through with Right to Life, and they're talking about all these wins that are not wins, trying to make us believe that they are. I'm like, what is going on? And so I started paying more attention to Abby Johnson, Lila Rose, Frank Pavone. Who am I missing? Oh, Kristen Hawkins is the absolute worst. I always call for her resignation. I mean, think about this, David. If abortion was abolished, there would be no need for Students for Life anymore. There would be no need for Abby Johnson to be making her money off of her movies and her books and her two multi-million dollar nonprofits. There would be no need for any of them to be making millions of dollars if abortion was abolished. So, of course, their talking points are the long game. Christine, you don't understand. We've got a plan for the long game. Yeah, I get what that plan is. So you, it's just like, you know, we all know there's a cure for cancer. You know, that'll never happen because the healthcare industry, the pharmaceutical companies, the doctors, they're all making too much money on cancer. Yeah. So and I'll tell you, I came to that conclusion last night thinking about my discussion with Father Ambrato, because David, it just didn't make sense to me why the pro-life, he calls it the pro-life, I think it's the pro-life industrial complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't figure out why are they pushing this long game so hard? Well, job security.
Man, that was, when I heard that last night, that was like a light just went off in my head. I had never connected. I know they raise money, right?
Oh yeah.
I know they do that. I know they have bills to pay. These are organizations, but I never knew they're making so much money. I never knew it was some sort of pro-life grift. These people are just bankrolling. And to be sure, I guess, you know, I wouldn't say they're insincere. I'm sure they have, you know, they believe what the church teaches in a sense, you know, but there seems to be a rub there between the massive amounts of wealth that they're making, and the correct pro-life Catholic position is that abortion needs to be abolished. It's a sin. We don't tolerate sin. We can't even afford sin. It's just, we don't compromise. We don't have a long game for sin. We're going to sin for a little while and then we'll stop later. It's just, that's not the Catholic position. It's abolish abortion. No compromise. Full stop. Just that's it. And if we're not asking for the abolishing of abortion, if not we're campaigning for that, if we're not lobbying for that, then what are we doing? Well, we're talking about sin. That's what we're doing. We're talking about, hey, let's sin a little bit more. And wow.
Well, wow. What are we always told about sin? You commit, especially mortal sin. You commit a mortal sin. You go to confession as soon as possible, right? You don't think about the long view.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It just, it's heartbreaking. It really is. And that's got to be it, bottom line, David, because, you know, and, okay, I probably shouldn't say this, but because it's you, I will. I almost want to see Trump elected abolish abortion and watch all these pro-life leaders that are making millions scramble around trying to come up with their new business plan to save their businesses.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, what would you do? I guess you're still raking a little bit of money off of a March for Life because you're celebrating it. you know, you say you're celebrating it or something like that. You're trying to, you know, but other than that, yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. So how are you going to pivot now? Save the whales?
Christine, it's a lot of money. I know. I understand why now, you know, there's an issue with you being invited to that private meeting where they talk about their long-term financial goals. That's what this is about. The meeting when all the mainstream pro-lifers get together to talk about how can they coordinate to make more money. This has to be what it's going to be about.
Why it's would it be so- a private meeting, David? That's a very good point. Why would it be a private meeting? Why wouldn't they be inviting in the pro-life ground people? You know, and this is the other thing that's tragic. It's tragic that all of these people that are on the ground getting arrested, putting their necks out there for the unborn and not getting paid a dime. It's all volunteer work.
Yeah.
And I don't begrudge nonprofits for making money. What I do begrudge is when they're not doing everything they can to protect the unborn. That's my problem. No, they are not. And like I said in one of my other videos, the pro-choice movement has, I mean, just look over the last 50 years. They're the ones that won.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, this could have been shut down a long time ago.
Yeah, they've definitely... they've moved the needle for sure. And this isn't just rumor or gossip that we're talking about these people making hand over fist personal money and money for their nonprofit. The salaries that they're being paid for a nonprofit. This isn't just gossip or rumor. I think there's like a site where you guys get this and a lot of this information, right, Christine?
You can. And I looked on Abby Johnson's and I find this extremely hard to believe. That her and her staff get paid zero. Don't believe it. I do not believe it. There's going to be people on her staff that aren't getting paid? No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that sounds like a tax issue. That sounds almost illegal. I mean, especially if they're like employed. I don't understand. That's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And every nonprofit I've looked at, even Church Militant, you know how I feel about that. you know, at least they put down people's salaries. So I just find it hard to believe that no one is getting paid.
Yeah. There's an issue there.
Mm-hmm.
But so what were your thoughts? We never really did. You know, we talked a little bit about the debate itself, but a lot of people have been talking since it happened, I think on a Thursday. Yeah. Last Thursday, about just the contrast between Donald Trump, who looked, you know, pretty vibrant up there. His, you know, largely his usual self.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Joe Biden, who looked like, you know,
Walter from, oh, what's the guy that does the ventriloquist? What's his name?
You said he looks like a dummy up there.
He looked like he uses this dummy that's called Walter, and he's this old man with squinty eyes.
Yeah. That's a good one. I haven't heard that one yet. You think the public is going to even care? I mean, who did the needle move with that debate, you think?
Well, this is what is surprising to me about that. Charlie Kirk made from Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk made a really, really good point yesterday. And that is, we have all seen the videos of Joe Biden falling, slipping, shaking hands with nobody there. The blunders as he's speaking. We've all seen this over the last 3.5 years. But his point was the majority of Democrats have not, because the mainstream media has been shielding those videos of Biden.
Yeah.
So his point is that's why the Democrats are coming out so shocked about seeing this decline of Biden when, you know, they were saying, can't remember who I listened to that said in the last 6 months to a year, this person was on, it was a, who was it on Cooper Anderson? I just saw a clip. Said that Biden has been declining for, it was a reporter that had been witnessing all of this. And they're trying to say that Biden has declined in the last 6 months to a year. And he's like, no, you know, he's been this way for a while. And you know what? When he was sworn in and the way they wouldn't let him campaign, you know, he was campaigning from the basement. Right. And the way he talked, the darkness in his eyes. Okay. Mm-hmm. My mother had Alzheimer's. She died of Alzheimer's. He behaved the very same way she did. She had that blank look. Her eyes got dark. She, you know, couldn't put two sentences together as she started to get worse and worse and worse. At Christmas, she leaned over to me and asked whose birthday were we celebrating. She didn't recognize it was Christmas. And yeah. I said to my dad later, I said, Dad, you have got to get her checked out. And he did. And she had Alzheimer's. And so a lot of the behavior I see in Biden is the very same as my mother. And that goes all the way back to the campaign trail that I noticed this, and nobody wanted to say anything about this. So there's a drug they put them on called Aricept that's supposed to slow it down.
Okay.
It doesn't. I mean, it may buy them, you know, a little time, but it doesn't fix the problem with their brain that causes the Alzheimer's. There is no cure. So for them to say that, oh, he just had an off debate, that's a total lie.
Yeah. 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 I was, I don't know why I got up at 3 a.m. Oh, here it was 3 a.m. to watch that, because I thought I was going to be entertained. Ended up being just really sad.
You know,
sad because, you know, the position that Trump took on the child sacrifice pill. I was like, wow, he went there. I didn't even know he was for that. And then just seeing this Biden up there, just, you know, it's just like elder abuse is what people call it. He just shouldn't be there. Shame on, I admire that Jill takes care of him. But at the same time, it seems like she's a bit power hungry. Like, why would you keep your husband in that position where you know he isn't completely well? And so disappointed just with that whole family wanting to push this man. Let the man retire. Let him just go away. But I understand that he has job security. Probably has to run because of who his vice president is. And you can't put somebody in front of her. I mean, you can't put Gavin Newsom as you know, running on him and have, listen, the black women liberals in the cities are going to like have a riot if you jump over Kamala Harris. So I don't know what the Democrats do, but
it was sad to see. Why, Eric? Why would they? She's not black.
Listen, they think she is. You know, there's nothing about her other than she went to Howard University that, you know, you could say, oh, she's culturally with us, even though she has her black voice. You know, she does, you know, she talks the talk and walks the walk. She plays a good game, but she's not.
Well, you know what? I think one parent's from Pakistan and the other one's from India. She's not black.
Yeah. I think, yeah, one is like half black, right? And so, yeah,
It's just mind boggling. And I'm not as favorable towards Jill Biden as you are. I don't admire her at all because she has put her husband at risk. Yeah. That she should be sued for elder abuse. That is just, and this whole article about how after the debate, you know, she locked him up after the debate and wouldn't let anyone talk to him, wouldn't let anybody see him. You know, the family went, the Biden crime family went down to Camp David, you know, to huddle together to come up with a plan. And they all decided he must run. He's fine. He just had a bad debate. Well, sure, they're saying that because if he doesn't run and he decides to quit, oh my gosh, what do you think's going to happen to good old boy Hunter Biden in the court system?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when she's helping him walk off a stage and when she's helping change his diaper and all this stuff, you don't admire that she changes his diaper when he poops, you know, around the Vatican and you know, the Pope and everything like that. And at the European Union, you know, the World War II thing, he's just pooping every place. You don't admire that she takes care of his diaper?
I don't think she's the one taking care of his diaper.
Oh my goodness. Let's get to some comments. Cause you guys been commenting quite a bit. So let me do this quick thing. Have this transition and I'll be right back. Hey, you guys are gonna love this. We completely refurbished our merch store at Satan Down with Media. So come over to Satan Down with Media, hop over to merch and see what we have to offer you. We got some new stuff, but we still kept the old classic rigid Catholic. I know you love it. A lot of you guys have it. You send me the pictures. I seen you in person with the rigid Catholic. So it's a classic. It's not going anywhere, but we have it on some new things. We have it on shorts now. You get your rigid Catholic shorts. It's hot outside. Put your shorts on, but let everybody know that you're a rigid Catholic in shorts. Also, this is our new design. Now, you've heard What Would Jesus Do? WWJD. But the fact of the matter, there's a lot of things that Jesus would do that you can do. It's like dying for people's sins, right? That's what Jesus would do, but you can't do it. It's already been done. But what would Jesus not do? That's the question. What would Jesus not do? Because everything Jesus would not do, you can't do either. So get the merch. Put it on. Put it on shorts. Put it on a hoodie. Send me a picture when you do it. This is the new merch at St. Dominic's Media. We got more coming, but check out this for now. What would Jesus not do? And rigid Catholic. Take a picture. Send it to me. I want to see it. I want to post it. StDominicsMedia.com. Get the merch.
I love your merch.
This is David L. Gray, Off Code Unscripted. Kristen Harrington is here, as she usually is, just going completely off code and unscripted. You don't know what she's going to say, but it's true. And so we've got some comments here, Christine, I want you to get to. So Laura Anderson has a couple. She's more talking about in vitro fertilization and do embryos have energy. What is the church's teaching on in vitro fertilization, and what is Donald Trump saying versus what the church teaches?
Well, I'll tell you a story about IVF. A good friend of mine who daughter went through IVF, and so she's telling me over lunch that they had multiple embryos that were fertilized, blah blah blah. And so they used one of them, and I said, well, what did they do with the others? And she said, well, they were destroyed. And I looked at her and I said, do you realize those are souls? And she kind of pulled back and she said, what do you mean? And I said, you know, your Catholic upbringing. You know, when life is conceived, there's a soul there, right? And it didn't even enter her mind.
Wow.
Wow. So is IVF pro-life? No, it's not.
Yeah. And do abortion pills actually cause abortion? I think there's Vestratone or there's some drugs there that don't they cause detach, so the embryo cannot detach to the walls of the uterus or something like that?
Yeah. So in order to, the hormone needed in order to keep the baby attached to the womb is progesterone.
Yeah.
So that's what's needed. In the abortion pill, they take that, they block that hormone so that it will cause the uterus to shred. And then they give them the second pill that caused the uterus to contract so they can expel the baby. The problem with the abortion pills, though, is they should be under physician. Well, they shouldn't be allowed, period. But there have been cases where women have hemorrhaged heavily and had to be hospitalized because of it. So do birth control pills cause abortion? Laura, I cannot answer that question. But it's not meant to cause abortion. It's just meant to stop conception, which again is against church teachings. And you know something, David? So I was married back in 1974. And I was told by I was married into the Catholic Church. We were
divorced. Oh, you were married young. My goodness. Yeah. I didn't know you got married that young.
Well, my mother, I had put on 10 pounds when I was in college, and she was convinced I was pregnant, and she forced us to get married. And I know my poor mother, God rest her soul, thought she was doing the right thing. But I was told by our priest that I could take the birth control pill.
Wow.
And 5 years later, my first husband and I were divorced. He still remains the love of my life. It should have never happened. But yeah, I was told by a priest that I could take the birth control pill back then.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And so I guess we're talking about contraception, the whole thing altogether. You know, John says, in my honest opinion, I care first about Catholics. And unless contraception is mentioned every time abortion is talked about, give it up. I reject the pro-life industry. I rejected them a long time ago. How's contraception fit in with there? Because Planned Parenthood, you know, they promote contraception, they give away the abortion pill, yet they also kill babies. I always thought that was kind of weird. Maybe because birth control actually doesn't work, and they're gonna, you know, it's a false, it's like a, you know, it doesn't, they're still gonna conceive, likely, right? But what about the pro-life movement? Should they be doing more, Christine, to just promote sex is for marriage, or should they talk more about how the contraception pill also is, at least is going to lead to abortions because you're going to get pregnant and then you have to do something?
Yeah, interesting. They never talk about that. The other thing they never talk about either, rarely, is how abortion affects the mother spiritually and emotionally. They never talk about that either. Mm-hmm. But I had a thought and it just left me. What was I going to say? So here's an interesting fact about Planned Parenthood. You know, they're all about women's health care, right?
Yeah.
But they don't offer mammograms. They don't offer mammograms. They'll do a physical test where they, you know, touch your breast. But they don't offer mammograms. So if they're truly for women, why don't they do that?
Yeah.
I know this probably shocks you since you're a man, David, but, and you wouldn't know about this, just us women do, but, you know, mammograms are an essential part of healthcare for women.
It's something you should get often.
Yeah, it's used to be every year. Then they recommend every 2 years, you know, from the time that you're like, you know, 20 up to 50. And I was told that when I turned 60, that I only needed to do one more mammogram and one more pap smear, and I was done for the rest of my life. And I said, well, I don't know. You don't know how long I'm going to live. I plan to live to be like 125. So. Oh, man.
And
God willing, God willing.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, that's a great point, Kristen. I mean, if they really were for women's health, and this is something essential to women's health. Yeah. So why wouldn't you, right? If women are, you know, you gotta, a woman is in charge of what she does with her body, right? Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why you don't give, you know, because she's in charge of her body, and you're only concerned about killing what's not actually part of her body. And so that whole abortion child sacrifice scheme is just
a scheme. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Trump is for in vitro fertilization, and so are most mainstream Republicans, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't think. So, you know, David, this journey we've been on with disinformation campaign, right? We all woke up one day and realized everything that we thought was true in our life over the last however many years is just all been one big lie. So I feel that way about politicians, too. I thought I knew Ted Cruz. I guess I really didn't. You know, I thought I knew Donald Trump. I guess I didn't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fact. That's why you really can't stamp your soul to the back of any of these people. They just end up disappointing you. They really do, because they have a different agenda than what we probably think that they do.
You made a very good point on your podcast about Vegano. And I really thought about what you said, because you're right. When you, just like Taylor Marshall, you know, everybody just thinks he's the second coming.
Yeah.
And I thought a lot about what you said on your podcast, because, you know, I've been on this journey too, David, where I was a Taylor Marshall, watched him every single night.
You know? Really?
Oh, I
never knew that. What?
Yeah. And I was on the Vegano bandwagon. I was a Pope basher. I did all of that, right? And then, since all of this has been coming out about all the disinformation and just, you know, it just kind of like God just said, wake up, Christine. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of stepped back and I just started reevaluating everything.
Yeah.
Which is why I came to the conclusion that you are the only Catholic podcaster I watch now.
Hopefully I never disappoint you. But yeah, I'm always rethinking, right? You always have to question. You always have to ask the question, like, okay, am I telling myself a lie right now? Because we lie to ourselves so much, right? And we lie to ourselves. We start believing our own lies. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we tell us things that are true. Oh yeah, this person, you know, I can trust, and, you know, but people change over time. You know, Vegano in 2018 or during COVID, they're like, man, wow. He changes. He gets older as well. You know, so you just have to always reevaluate, right? And ask the questions, even when it comes to this pro-life movements. You know, you your podcast and what you've been doing lately, Church Militant, what you were doing there. Yeah. And that is you like, man, just wow, you just have to you have to ask the questions. Like, is this good? Is this true? Is it for God? Or are they doing something else here? And when it comes to this issue of people making money, he's like, wow, that was like a wake up call yesterday when you did that show with Father Imbarato. But Abby, Collins says Abby's making a fortune. I know she has the movie. She does a lot of speaking gigs, right? But is she making the most money, you think, out of the whole mainstream pro-life movement?
Well, according to Father, she's making anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 for speaking engagements. Now, I was told by a source that she's making up to $25,000. Okay, I do pro-life speeches. You know what I've gotten paid?
Your gas reimbursement?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. My gas reimbursement. Now, I'm not saying I should be paying $25,000 to make to speak about my abortion testimony. No, I'm not saying that at all. But on the Instagram feed of Abby, of her latest speech, where she's doesn't have she has like on a leather tank top. And she has tattoos on both of her arms. And she's talking about her favorite subject, her. And about adopting her sons, or one son. I don't remember how many are adopted now. But, you know, that's when we got to start questioning, what is this really about? Lisa Leopold. It's amazing.
Yes, how much it's money amazing how much money these people make. They wear nice clothes. I was just thinking about this comment when you said Abby was wearing a nice little leather piece there. Drive expensive cars, nice homes, and people like Laura Guys is put in prison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said that in one of my shorts. You know, how many of these pro-life leaders have ended up in jail because they're out defending life? I don't know any.
About that. You're saying these people are doing, you know, the mainstream leaders, they're doing speeches, they're doing conferences,
private meetings.
Private meetings, right? Making a lot of money. But then there is the people on the ground who, like the older lady, I think in DC, she just went to jail. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the sidewalk counselors and the Rachel Vineyard volunteers. It's not easy doing a Rachel's Vineyard retreat because those of us that are post-abortive that facilitate, we relive our abortions all over again. And we get emotionally involved as well with the women that come through the retreats. So, you know, these people are the real heroes of the pro-life movement. Right. They're the ones that are saving the babies. Right. How are these people that are making all of this money, doing their podcasts, doing their Instagram, how are they saving babies?
Right. Yeah, I don't see it. They're just
speaking to the choir.
Yeah, they're speaking to the choir. That's it. So, you know, I would love to start a pro-life movement with you, Christine, and we just call it No Compromise. But
yeah,
we'll be out of business pretty soon, right? Because we won't be grifting. You know, so we'll reach our goal one day, and then, you know, that whole thing will dry up. And but I mean, what can people do though if they're saying, "Hey, I don't want to continue to enrich the establishment. I want to do more for people actually on the ground, people who are touching souls, getting men and women to turn around and not enter the child sacrifice halls." How can they redirect their money to actually make a difference?
I'm going to tell you to hold on to your money. Just hold on to your money. You know, I have been praying. I have been thinking long and hard about what is the real answer to the pro-life movement. What is the real answer? Here's the thing. One of my friends that has been on my channel quite a few times about the Church Militant deal, Christine Chrisleep, she has a whole background in nonprofits. A lot of nonprofits are nothing but moneymakers. That's why they're, you know, it's the same way with foundations. You know, somebody makes creates a foundation. It's a moneymaker.
Yeah.
What work are they really doing? You know? So I'm going to say to you, hold on to your money. And, you know, there's this whole deal that went on during COVID because everybody was upset that parishes closed down masses. I was upset too. But I'm giving my money back to my parish now. I should have never quit. I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong for doing that. I've been wrong about a lot of things.
Because I guess a lot of people are saying that, right? Back, you know, the rad trap thing, don't give money to your parish, that whole thing. Okay.
Yeah. They were encouraging people not to give to your parish because they, you know, closed the doors of the churches. And it upset me too. But I wish I had an answer right now, David. When I come up with one, I will reach out to you and let you know, but it really bothers me. It's something I think about a lot. It's something I pray about a lot. What's the answer? You know, maybe Trump will come in and just abolish abortion and give the unborn personhood. That would be the best case scenario.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that is. Yeah. And God willing, he does. I pray that that's true. And that's not just, you know, like the gimmick that Democrats run on the black liberals. But actually, I hope it's true. I have no reason not to hope that. So, but we'll definitely see if they don't kick it down the road to the, you know, the next, you know, whoever Donald Trump picks for his vice president or whatever. And Laura Loretta, she's coming in from your channel, from our multicast or simulcast. She says, you are talking about celebrity pro-lifers. Dr. Monica and her husband, Edmund Miller, are saving babies at a personal cost. Who are these people?
If Loretta, help me out with this. They're in Detroit, correct? They're in Michigan. And yeah, there's lots of people that are in the Red Rose campaign that are, you know, going out to abortion clinics and trying to make a difference and trying to talk to women who end up getting arrested. But I think, yes, she said, yes, Detroit. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I thought I knew who she was. But yes, she is doing good work. John Ryan out in St. Louis, the same thing. He's on the ground. He's doing great work there too. These are credible people.
And what about 40 Days for Life? Is that something that you would get behind?
Yeah, I've spoken at 40 Days for Life quite a bit. They do pray in front of abortion clinics. But as we talked about last night with Father Imbrato, the abortion clinics have taken a new strategy. So instead of making abortion clinics in standalone clinics, they're now going into office buildings. So it's harder to reach the women that are coming in because they're going into office buildings. And so it makes it more difficult for people to reach out to them.
I would not want to work in an office building where Planned Parenthood is also at. I would
wouldn't that creep you out? Yeah.
Yes. That's demonic. I'm not going to work right over or under where babies are being slaughtered. Mm-hmm. I'm moving out that building.
There is an abortion clinic in downtown Indianapolis in one of the office complex right down to Indianapolis. Right for Life did a rally there that I did a speech. I think it was in 20, 16, I think, or 2017. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. And Matthew, who's also coming in from your channel, he's bringing up the, you know, he's making, I mean, that's a good point that another life issue that we don't talk about is just the pervasiveness and the promotion of the homosexual lifestyle. It's a contraceptive lifestyle. Back in 1969, you know, Planned Parenthood put out that Jaffe memo, and one is about eugenics. And one thing they said, one way to control births is to promote the homosexual lifestyle. So it's just abortive. It's not about love. It's eugenics. It's another form of eugenics. Mm-hmm. And Matthew also says, please give to the Courage Apostolate.
Oh, so, I've not heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a
is that, oh, that's the Catholic apostolate Courage. Okay, got it. Yep. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, so they're helping men who have that sexual inclination for other men. They're helping them. They're not still doing James Martin is doing, saying, oh,
yeah,
you, God created you that way. Go screw a man. It's fine. Repent.
Well, here, later, I'll later. Break something for you on your show. I've been in conversation with Milo Yiannopoulos.
Really?
And he has a conversion therapy clinic that he's trying to get up and running in Florida. It may be already up and running, but he did say that he would come on my show later in the year.
That is good news to hear that he's actually still trying to be, you know, a good person. So,
mm-hmm. and he's trying to, you know, continue to be Catholic and all of that. So, you know, hopefully that will happen at the end of the year. We will not be talking any church militant, though. It's just strictly about his clinic.
Oh, he wants to stay off of that topic, huh?
Yeah, I don't blame him. I'm done with it too.
You're doing it too? Wow, even though somebody banned you on X.com, huh? You're just done with it, huh?
Michael Voris for David's audience. Michael Voris blocked me on Twitter last week because he didn't like my comment. So. It wasn't that uncharitable. I just said to Trey Blanton that I agree with him 100%. So
you should have said anything. You should just like the comment, Christine. What are you doing? Come on.
Yeah, so Voris is back active on X now.
Matthew says from your channel, forgive me, but I'm skeptical of Milo. Does he have any training or education? In therapy. So I guess, Christine's going to have a whole conversation with him. So this is going to be interesting. I'll tune in as I always do. So we'll see.
I think that's a valid concern. I think it's a valid concern, Matthew. And my answer to you is I have no idea, but I'm going to find out.
Man, Christine, thanks for coming on, my friend. I love you so much. Thanks for always coming on, being generous with your time. And, I guess we'll see each other soon. We seem to do this at least once a month, so we'll find something to talk about next time.
Oh, I'm sure something will crop up. It's always fun with you, David.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in Off Code Unscripted and listen to our guest, Christine Harrington from Eternal Life. If you don't follow her channel, please hop over there for at Eternal Life Plan. And follow her there. She has great content. And everyone who's on the simulcast, Christine's channel. Check out Off Code Unscripted, St. Dominic's Media. And we appreciate your time. Everyone, have a good night. God bless. And we'll see you on the next time.
Bye. Bye-bye.